Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to a familiar passage for us in the church, 2 Chronicles and chapter number 7. The book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 7. This is a very familiar passage because it's used often. Sometimes it's used for the purpose of revival. We have, as we've gone to through our messages on the life and ministry of Solomon, we understood the context of this is that King Solomon is dedicating the temple unto the Lord. And as he is dedicating the temple unto the Lord, he made several different prayer requests in the previous chapter. That is, he's dedicating, he's fall down on his face before the people, and he is praying that, God, if this happens, would you hear us? And if this happens, would you hear from heaven? And if this happens, would you hear from heaven? And he went through a scenario of several different things. In chapter number 7, the glory of God appeared within the temple, and the glory of God was thick within the temple. And God begins to speak, and he begins to summarize quickly about what Solomon had said, that, Solomon, you said that if things were going wrong and the people are away and the judgment was coming upon them and the people were scattered, that if they pray, I'd hear from heaven. God answers with 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, a familiar passage, but let's look at it once again. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, normally we would just quickly say, mark the passage, if my people, but I would like for you to extend that, and let's put attention on the entire phrase, if my people, which are called by my name. And so we want to add to it with the understanding that as we're studying the names of God and how to use God's name, we know that God's name is very important and it's very precious to him and it means something. And when we look at the context and we look at this passage and we break it down with the context that if my people, which are called by my name, we add a little bit more power. We add a little bit more substance, a little bit more understanding of what God is getting across here to his people. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just help build upon this message, help us to understand this verse, understand the context, and see how it applies to us, especially in the light of it being about you and in your name. Fill me with your spirit and that you would use this to draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If I may catch you up, we've hit this passage before several different times and have come to a good understanding that this is often used as what we would call a revival passage, and rightfully so, for the idea of people need revived. They need to be back into the position where they're usable by God. Now, we know that some people, and I have in previous times, have taught that if my people, which are called by my name, and they use this as a promise to fix our land. We've come to the understanding from the context that God never promised to fix America. Amen. That the whole purpose of this is in the context to bring glory to God's name. And that in the physical body back then, it was the temple and it was dealing with the land. In fact, notice with me in verse 16, just to show that it's clear. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name shall be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now, we know it was talking about the temple as it was dedicated. Now, we know that the temple was for the Hebrew people at that time, and that God has put his name on his house today of the local New Testament church, and that God wants to put his blessing, and he wants to put his honor, and that the idea that we've taught before is that we need to be as right with God as possible for the purpose of bringing glory to him. Now we add an extra component to it from the context. If my people, which are called by my name. Now we understand a little bit more that God has placed his name upon his people and upon his house. And that his people need to be as right with God as possible to bring glory to God through that house. We need to be right with God as possible. Now, we have a very busy week coming up with the NFL draft, with the opportunity of reaching hundreds of thousands, to reach tens of thousands, if nothing else, to be able to see people receive the gospel. And we want to do it in such a way that God gets the glory. That by the time it's all said and done, God gets the glory. That we, even with the idea of revival passage, there is a lot of times that people have a misunderstanding of revival, as we said before. Some people believe that if we follow these instructions, then our country will get better. Why? So we feel better. We so often use these passages to be all about us. When God says, if my people, which are called by my name, if my people, which are called by my name, God is placing an emphasis on this verse that God's people need to get right to bring glory to God and his name. It's all about God. Why are we preparing for this NFL draft? Why are we trying to pass out 100,000 tracts and 75,000 John and Romans so we could say what a great church we are? Are we doing it for the idea of saying, oh, look at what God can do with us? Now, and the emphasis being us, we need to be at the place where going into this, it's all about him. Now, we say that because as this verse is going to expose, most of the time it's all about us. And we look at us. Even in our failures, we keep looking at us. But the purpose of this and people getting right with God is to bring glory to him and to get our eyes off us, eyes off our circumstances, eyes off our problems, eyes off the situation. Put our eyes on him that he may be glorified. So if you don't mind, let's take some time and walk through this passage and just be reminded once again of the expectation God has upon his people. Remember, this isn't a verse for the heathen. It's not a verse for the lost. It's not the verse for the atheist. It's not a verse for the politicians or the lawyers. It's for God's people. If my people, you understand that this is identified to us, those who consider to be God's people. Who is God's people? Well, anyone who carries his name. Well, what do you mean, carried my name? Well, remember that in a marriage ceremony, the way things used to work and still do for the most part, that when I got married to my wife, she took my name. She has my last name now. She came and was a part of my family. We started a new household, and she now bears my name. When the children were born and they signed the birth certificates, they didn't say, all right, what's the last name going to be? And we have to say, well, wait a second, I got to figure this out. They were immediately identified under my name. They were born in my family, and they're a reflection of my name. If my people, God identifies who it is. He's talking about God's people who've accepted him as Savior. And because of that, we are now called Christians. We carry the name of Christ even in our name. We identify as being followers of Christ. as Christians, as people who identify that Jesus died for my sins. Jesus paid my debt. I am one of his. He has bought me with a price. He owns me. I am identified with him. If my people, which are called by my name. Again, the idea that this personal pronoun, my name, this shows a mark of ownership, a claim of ownership. Those are my people. If they're not mine, I can't claim them. So let's just imagine, if you don't mind, we had someone else's kids and they don't go to church here. They're just out in the street and I look and say, you know what? Those are my kids. I don't have any claim to them. I don't even know who they are. God has a claim of ownership. Those are my people. I purchased them. They belong to me. And because they belong to me, they should glorify me. Anything that we own should be the purpose of glorifying, for the purpose of using it. I don't want to own something that's constantly going to hurt me. I don't want to own something or claim something that's constantly going to give me a bad name. It is mine. And because of that, God says they should bring glory to me. If my people, which are called by my name, once again, giving this reflection, we are God's. And we have a responsibility. You understand that being a Christian carries responsibility. You do not have the right to live however you want. I know we're in America, but you don't have the right to live however you want. You have the freedom to live in a way that brings glory to God. Let me just give an illustration. In the military, they have the responsibility of the spouse. Let's just say that I was in the military and my spouse kept writing bad checks. You know who the military would hold responsible? Me, because I'm responsible. And that her actions can get me punished in the military because she carries my name. She's my responsibility. And that I should have the desire that she brings glory to me, reflects well of me, helps me out, brings a good name to me. For us, because we call ourselves Christian, people associate who God is based off of our actions. If we go boo-hooing all day, then that's to people, they say, well, their God isn't good. Their God isn't right. Their God isn't fair to them. But when we could rejoice to God, they said their God is real. Their God is rejoicing. There's something to that. The way that we respond, the way that we act, the way that we behave, the way that we do things should all be a reflection to bring glory to God. And that's something that's very important, a very heavy responsibility. Everything I do reflects on my Father. Everything I do reflects on me being his child and the family I'm a part of. The way that I live my life, the way that I interact, my work ethic, my integrity. Do I tell the truth? Can I be trusted? Do I keep my word? Do I finish a project? All of that brings reflection upon the name I carry. People will say, oh, if that's how you behave, I don't want anything to do with your God. That's a horrible thing. But we could be that reflection, a bad reflection, by our actions. Even if God is good, people can accuse him of not being good by my own actions. If my people, which are called by my name, notice now God starts to list and give us these ideas that we need to be right with God, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The idea of humility in the Bible, it carries with it the idea of putting my dependence on something else. The opposite of humble is pride, of course. What is pride? A dependence upon myself. I can do it myself. I don't need God. I don't need anyone else. The idea of humility is that we can trust God. Now, we know that pride shows up in all kinds of different ways. For example, I can deal people with pride. I'm right and you're wrong. That's not very humble at all. But yet we respond that way. I know more than you. I am better than you. And that's not a good reflection about who God is. We should be a reflection of humility, of meekness. Remember, meekness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. Can I trust God to work with someone? Or do I feel like I need to convince them somehow that if I can somehow and show enough force, they'll be convinced? By the way, no one's ever been convinced because of a show of force. No one's ever been convinced because I was unrelenting. They may concede, but not be convinced. I have never won an argument in my house by yelling at my wife. It's not worked. A show of force, a pride, thinking that I have enough strength to make her understand, it has never worked. Humility. To be able to say, I can trust God. I just give information and I can trust God to make it understandable. I can trust God to change that person's heart. I could trust God to work on my behalf. That I am dependent upon God. I don't have to force my way. I don't have to make things happen. I don't have to, to show them how right I am. That's awful pride. By the way, pride continues to show up. Even if you say, well, I'm quiet, doesn't mean that you're without pride. You could be in a conversation with someone and then afterwards replay the situation. And when you replay it, you've had all the right answers and you convince them in your mind. You showed them. And in your mind, you have all the answers. And in your mind, you have the pride. And if I just said this, and if I just did this, oh man, that's what I should have had this. That's pride. We're just not outward displaying it, but that's still just as pride, because we think that we have the power. We are dependent upon ourselves instead of trusting in God. We don't have that meekness. We don't have that humility. And may I say that oftentimes as Baptistic people, we're not known for our humility. We may have correct doctrine, but a wrong disposition. And we turn a lot of people off because we know better than them. And we might or might not, but they'll never listen as long as we feel like we have to force our way to them and show them. By the way, that is why independent Baptists, if you could forgive my little diversion, have an awful name throughout a lot of Christendom, a very bad name. Now, for those of you who have, this is the only independent Baptist church you may know, you may not understand that, but there's a lot of pride in the Baptist ranks. Why? Because knowledge puffeth up. God has allowed us to have a lot of knowledge, but instead of being dependent on God and allowing people to be taught and being patient and letting God do his work, we feel like we have the knowledge, you're right, I'm wrong, and let me force it down and show you that I'm right. And we hurt a lot of people, even if we have the right knowledge that the lack of humility doesn't bring glory to God. And the way that we respond, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we interact with people will bring glory to his name or push people apart because of the pride and the arrogancy we carry. Even if you're quiet, we can still have it exude out of us. If my people, which are called by my name, God says, humble themselves to be dependent upon God. Notice as it goes on, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. If there is one thing we do not do well, is pray. We satisfy ourselves by checking off a box, and we pray here, we pray here, but we're not known as prayers. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, I'm speaking specifically of this church. We're not known as prayers. We're not people who put our dependence upon God. Again, the lack of prayer shows the lack of dependence. We don't pray. We think we could get it done ourselves. Or worse yet, we don't even think to pray, because we're so used to doing it ourselves. Remember, the idea is it all is to bring glory to his name. How do I bring glory to his name? By talking to him and saying, I need you. By talking to him and putting my dependence on him. I could do nothing. I must decrease, he must increase. Lord, I need thee every hour. We could sing that song, but when's the last time you prayed every hour that you were awake? We may pray when things get rough. We may get a little time in the morning. Lord, watch over me. We may say a little cute prayer before we go to bed. We may have like a little ritual prayer that someone has to get done in order for us to eat. But we don't get a hold of God. You know what brings glory to him? Is the whole reason why he saved us. Why did he save us? For fellowship. God is worth spending time with. Have you ever had a friend, spouse, relative, kid, somewhere that they were gone and you couldn't wait for them to come back because you wanted to have fellowship and you were so excited about it? When's the last time you were excited to spend that time with God? To talk with him, to be with him, to do something with him, just to hang out with him? We don't bring glory to his name because we don't like being with God. We don't. How do we know? Because of how awkward our prayers are when we do talk to him. All right, pastor told me I need to talk with you, and I know he's right. So God, what do you want to talk about? Then after a while, just get bored and hang up the phone. He's not worth talking to. And we don't bring glory to his name because we don't like spending time with him. You like, I wouldn't put it that way. Yeah, but we're being honest today. We don't like spending time with him. He doesn't have enough glory for us to spend 5 minutes, 15 minutes. The old statistics, and I don't even remember where I got them from, but someone did statistics and they said the average church-going Christian spends less than 4 minutes of prayer a day. You say, well, that doesn't sound long. Yeah, but you may think it's eternity when you're actually trying to talk with them and don't know what to say. And those minutes spread out. And 4 minutes go by and you're like, I'm good. I've had my fill. Isn't it awful? If my people, which are called by my name, and we don't even like to spend time with him. We don't even like to be with him. We don't want to talk to him. We can't even stand being in the same room as him. You said, well, he's invisible. I understand that. But if we were to put that visible, it'd be like being in the same room and like get bored with him and just walk out. We all have people that we know that we don't like to spend time alone with them. It's all right if we have a group of people, you know, that's cool. I could tolerate that. How can we bring glory to his name if we don't like to be with him? If we don't like to spend time with him? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and pray and seek my face. The idea of seeking God's face is the idea that we on purpose search for him. We look for him. We want to see him. I'll give a weak example. Let's imagine you're at work and you get done with your project. Very few of you go seek your boss's face. Hey, boss, I'm done. Why not? Because you don't want him to give you something else. Why don't we go see God? We're afraid he's going to give us something else to do. We don't like to seek after God. We don't want to him to point out something we did wrong. We don't like going to God. And yet we're supposed to be Christians. It's like saying, well, I really like going to grandma's house, but never going to grandma's house. If my people, which are called by my name, it should be normal for us to seek God's face. God, what would you have me to do? God, what is it that I need to fix? God, I need direction. To seek his face. The idea of seeking carries the idea of a purposeful action. This isn't passive. It's not the idea, well, the boss sees you and then he gives you something to do and you weren't looking for him. I'm on purpose going to God. God, what now? God, what needs to be fixed? What needs to be adjusted? No wonder we don't bring glory to his name. Because we don't like God. We may love him, but we don't like him. We don't like him enough to spend time with him. We don't like him enough. We don't want to glorify his name to go and say, what do you want me to do now? What would you have me to do now? What would you have me to do now? By the way, this is where pride comes from, because we don't spend time with God, that we have to come up with the answers ourselves and do things ourselves, because we don't trust him and we don't want to be with him. No wonder we don't bring glory to his name. No wonder we have to take purposeful action to fix these things so we could finally bring glory to his name. If my people, which are called by my name, and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. One of the reasons why we don't like to seek God is because we don't want to turn from our wicked ways. We like sin. We like being with our sin. There are many times we like our sin more than God. You're like, Pastor, I'm not liking the way that you're saying things tonight. As we're getting ready to observe the Lord's Supper, we really have to be honest with ourselves. We like our sin more than we like hanging out with God. Understand that our sin will keep us away from God, or God will keep us away from our sin. But we like sin. We would rather have that than be with God. I know it's not very religious sounding today. Is a day that people like to put on religious coats of paint upon a rotten fence. But if we really want God's blessing and we want God's power, if we want God to do something this week, we have to get to the place where we could be glorying his name. And we cannot do it if we don't spend time with him. We cannot do it if we don't want to be with him. We can't do it if we continue in our sin, because we will not bring glory to his name. This is a week where things will be exposed. Wouldn't it be horrible, absolutely horrible, that we start seeing victories, and in the middle of victory, something horrible is exposed with one of our church family that would make the whole thing get a black eye? Almost sweep away all of those victories under the rug because of that awful thing that was exposed. This is that type of week where Satan would love to do that. This is a time for us to get as right with God as possible and to choose him rather than our sin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. You notice there's the word and between all of this. This isn't one of those sermons where you say, well, I'll choose one. This is all of them. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then we have God's part. Then will I, God, hear from heaven. God wants his name glorified. And when we're at a place where we could glorify him, we have a Father who really wants to do something for us. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Praise the Lord. We can only be usable when we're right with him. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Now remember, we've talked about before in this sermon in different contexts, the idea that the healing of their land is not fixing America or making people vote the way or making people see the way that we see things. But it's fixing our land so we bring glory to his name. That through this local church, when we're as right with God as possible, we're the shining light, the reflection of his glory, and that people come to know him because of the glory he is shining down, and we as a mirror are reflecting back. That's what we want, is that we don't want people to say, what a great church, they really tried hard. We don't want where people said, you know, they really did their best, or wow, look at what they're doing. That's our flesh. We want that. What we should desire is that people say, wow, their God is real. I want to know that God. That God, there's something to that. We want to reflect it so people aren't looking at us. They're looking at him. And this is a type of week where it's all about pride. It's all about self. It's all about promotion. It's all about this and that. This is a time for us to be different. And that only happens when we're as right with God as possible and ready to reflect his glory and his honor and who he is. If my people, which are called by my name, there is no other name like Jesus. There is no other name that is so precious. No other name that has such power and authority, no other name that is worthy of such glory and honor. And we're his people, we're going to reflect his name. Is it a good reflection or a bad reflection? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. If I could summarize this and say, what is one thing we could work on? Let's work and desire and ask God for his help beyond what we could do. That we actually want to be with him. That this week, it's not a burden to pray because we actually want to spend time with him. That it's not a burden for us to go, Lord, what will you have me to do next? That we're not hiding from him. That we're willing to say, Lord, it's all about you this week. It's all about you, and I want you to be glorified. What do you want me to do? You said, but I'm going to get tired. Yes. Yes. You see, our first step tonight is to admit that I haven't been wanting to spend time with you, God. I haven't wanted to talk with you. I mean, I pray, just because you're praying and saying words doesn't mean you're spending time and having a conversation. Lord, get me to the place where I want to be with you, where I want to spend time with you. And from there, let God kind of solve and fix things out. But we need to be honest with God on that first point. God, I haven't wanted to be with you. But if we're going to get accomplished and see what God wants to do, an amazing, we have an amazing opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It cannot be done in the flesh. It cannot be done by our own might. It cannot be done by our own power. It can only be done by a revived church who is glorifying God by carrying his name. We purposely have made this message shorter tonight because I didn't feel like we needed to beat the bush and beat the dead horse. I believe we have enough right here that we can deal with God about. And before we observe the Lord's table, this is a time where we need to make sure that we are as right with God as we possibly can. Let's go to him and pray. Lord, thank you for being a God. And Lord, I admit there are times I don't want to spend time with you. I don't want to talk with you. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to seek your face because I know you're going to give us something more to do. I know you're going to point out things that need to be fixed. I know you. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for not just wanting to just spend time with you. And that the times that I do it just so rush just to get it over with. And you deserve more than that. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to glorify your name. And it starts with us being as right with you as we possibly can. Because you're worthy. You're worthy of all glory and honor. You're glory of our time. You're worthy of our lives. Help us, Lord, to be honest with you and allow you to be thorough with us that we could reflect your precious name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind to stand to your feet. No piano tonight, but let's just take some time to be as right with God as possible. Wherever you're at, if you wouldn't mind to stand up, and maybe you'd like to find a spot. Take some time to be honest with God, to reflect on this message, to look in within yourselves, to be honest with him and ask him to help. Maybe even come with a plan of action. What am I going to do? If I don't have time to pray, maybe I should find the time to pray. Wherever you're at, let's just be honest with God, even now. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.